Welcome back into the Grow Room. I'm Bob Bubka, here with guest host and St. Louis icon. He's also a golf commentator, works as the manager now, the Normandy Club, which happens to be the oldest public golf club west of the Mississippi. His name is Jay Randolph Jr., and I'm almost afraid to ask this first question because I want to see how you're doing, my man, but I know you're in Vegas.
So I'm doing pretty good, Bob. It's been a fun couple of days. As I told you last week, I got something off my bucket list. I got to see Don Rickles at 90 years of age on Sunday night, and my goodness, you and I would both hope that when we're 90, we've got it still as much together as Don Rickles does. He still got it, and he put it on at the Orleans Showroom. It was a fantastic night.
Yeah, and I understand it was sold out, and a lot of people there to see the legendary Don Rickles.
Yeah, it was almost like a tribute to him in a way. He can't get around like he used to. The show opens with him in a chair sitting there in front of an orchestra, and he still shoots his zingers and offends about everybody, but everybody knows it. And two or three times during the show, people just gave him a standing ovation. It was almost just because they were paying tribute to all he had done. It was really cool.
Well, it certainly sounds cool. I'm happy for you to get some time off. I know you got so much on your plate right now, including that Normandy Club, which you told us last week, it's doing very well. It's the oldest public golf club west of the Mississippi. I mean, that's quite an honor.
No, it is. It's ironic. I grew up at the oldest private golf course west of the Mississippi, Glen Echo Country Club, which was designed by the same people that designed Normandy, the Fowlis brothers, the famed Fowlis brothers who came over from Scotland. And as I mentioned last week, probably about 5 or 6 years, it hadn't gotten the TLC that it needed, and we're trying to bring it back and restore the old gem. You and I both love old school classic golf courses. And this certainly is one. So it's been an eye-opening experience. As I said last week, Bob, you know, the PGA Tour is strong, and we're going to talk about some tournaments coming up here in a second. I can only hope that the game itself gets as strong as the PGA Tour is.
Well, that's a good point, and that's one of the things we'll be discussing on the Grow Room on a regular basis. And speaking of vintage between Don Rickles and the Normandy Club, our first story, certainly vintage, 45-year-old Padraig Harrington wins on the European Tour. We got a 23-year-old Justin Thomas winning on the PGA Tour. But why don't we start with that likable Irishman, Padraig Harrington, winning the Portugal Masters. And Jay, certainly one of the more likable guys in the world of golf. Very talented, guaranteed Hall of Famer as far as I'm concerned. Three-time major winner, two Opens and a PGA. But old Padraig Harrington, when he gets it going, he's a tough customer.
Well, there's no doubt about it. He's a grand fellow, and you know, I think a little bit his majors are overshadowed, unfortunately, because that was during a stretch where Tiger Woods was not competitive at that time. But I don't care. You win a major championship, you win two majors, you win three majors, like you said, automatic Hall of Famer. But you know, in a way, you kind of forgot about it. But he had forgotten about himself. But he's been working hard on his game. He's committed to try and make the Masters tournament. It's something he desperately wants to do. And it's great to see a guy, as we've seen, Bob, as these players get older and older, if they keep themselves in good condition, they've still got that mind and they've still got that knowledge. And don't sleep on Padraig Harrington. And he made a decision that he's going to go to the race to Dubai and finish up the season there.
Yeah, he's certainly in a wonderful physical shape and a very likable guy, very courteous to the media. Let's listen to what Harrington had to say about his win. This audio coming to you, compliments of Sky Sports.
I'm comfortable enough that there was going to be a win, but as I said, every year you want one, and I haven't had one this year, so you know, I'll be able to put down 2016 as a winning year.
Boy, you never get tired of listening to that accent, though, Jay.
No, he's one of the players that proves that this game is worldwide and from the Emerald Isle, and really been a great champion for the people of Ireland.
Yeah, and hats off to Andy Sullivan, who got his one and only win on the European Tour the previous year, came in there as defending champion and only finished one shot back. I mean, that's pretty impressive for Andy Sullivan. Got to meet Andy down at the Players' Championship this year and, of course, up at Hazeltine at the Ryder Cup. And he's a very likable guy also. All right, on the other end of that spectrum we were talking about, Justin Thomas, who won his second CIMB Classic, giving further credence, Jay, you know, horses for courses. Seems like Justin Thomas has got something going here in that CIMB Classic.
Yeah, just like Ryan Moore did a couple of years ago when he went back-to-back over in Malaysia. This clearly is a spot where Justin feels very comfortable. And that brilliant final round just kind of blowing by everybody. It looked like Anirban Lahari might get his first victory with the lead going into Sunday. But Justin Thomas just got it going and didn't stop. And he ran by the field. And, you know, you mentioned Andy Sullivan and Justin Thomas. I mean, these are two guys that we're talking about that are young players that we don't talk about in the likes of a Spieth, McIlroy, Day. They're just a heartbeat away. I mean, they're just a couple of good major championships away from being in that elite class. That's how strong this game is. And Justin Thomas really put on a display in that final round over in Malaysia.
You know, Jay, got a kick with Andy Sullivan at the Ryder Cup, obviously being a rookie playing in his first Ryder Cup. And they asked him, you know, are you going to be nervous? It's a lot of pressure on you. He said, are you kidding me? He said, 2 years ago, I was stocking shelves in a grocery store. He said, that's pressure, knowing what shelf to put what can on. He said, playing in the Ryder Cup, that's easy.
Absolutely. It's a little different than stocking shelves, that's for sure. And he's, again, this is a young man that, you know, if you're not a golf geek, you may not know that much about Andy Sullivan. But as you mentioned, meeting him at the Players' Championship, he is one of those next wave of guys that are going to be trying to take on the big dogs coming at this year.
And he's very smart. He plays a lot of practice rounds with Rory McIlroy. They seem to have a pretty good connection there. And, boy, you can do a lot worse than playing your practice rounds with Rory McIlroy. All right, we got a big hot topic to talk about. And the question is, obviously, if Patrick Harrington can win at 45, Jay, surely that means Tiger can make a successful comeback or not.
Well, there's the question again. I mean, you have evidence. You have evidence of Watson at damn near 60 winning the British Open. Jack obviously getting the major at 46 years of age at that tremendous Masters. But, you know, I think with Tiger, it's going to come down to health. That's what you're left with after watching the Charlie Rose interview, which was 52 minutes of an enigma again. You know, at times you feel like you're getting the real Tiger, and then it's almost like he tries to guard himself in his answers, and he's talking to one of the best interviewers I think of the last 30 or 40 years, Charlie Rose, who does a magnificent job and is always prepared. But I think it comes down to injury and health with Tiger. I do think he still has the mental side and can kick that in, but it's going to be physically whether he can do it. You mentioned Patrick Harrington in tip-top shape. Is Tiger Woods really in tip-top shape? And if he was, why didn't we see him at Safeway? And will we see him at the Hero Challenge?
Well, Jay, you mentioned Charlie Rose, and I agree with you. He certainly does a great interview. But I was perplexed a little bit about a couple of Tiger's responses. Number one, that his only regret is that he left Stanford 2 years early, and there was so much going on surrounding NCAA infractions and stuff of that nature. And I know you played collegiate golf. It was apparent that, you know, it was the right thing for Tiger to leave Stanford early before the situation deteriorated. So that response really struck me as funny. And then the other one, which is the one I want your opinion on, Jay, he said, you know, when asked about his world challenge down in Bahamas in December, he was emphatic about saying, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to play there. I guarantee you that when, as I heard, the reason for the withdrawal at Safeway was that his game wasn't ready to be competitive against the best in the world. So how does he know it's going to be ready in December?
Excellent question, Bob. I think the fact that, you know, he's talking about playing down at the Medalist with his buddies or his guys he plays with, or some tour pros and some cash games, shooting 65 and 66, and says, but, you know, when you play tournament golf, it's different. And, you know, I think he's just got to slow down with these statements like, I'm definitely playing this and that. The regret question, Charlie Rose pushed on him a couple of times because, you know, when you think about regrets Tiger might have had, it might be potentially that he would say, I made some mistakes in my marriage. But he didn't do that. He said his only regret was not staying one more year at Stanford. And as you said, with what the NCAA was looking at, the mishap with the Arnold dinner that Arnold paid for and Tiger had to give a check for, and, you know, he proved that his game was good enough. I mean, he was ready playing wise. You know, it makes you wonder when you watch him, is he giving you everything? Is he giving you himself? Is he being truthful? Or are these just answers that he's worked on? You know, I mean, it certainly would have been a great opportunity to say, well, I regret two things. I would have liked to have played one more year. I would have liked to have been at Stanford one more year, because his reasoning wasn't anything about golf, Bob. It was about life. It was about being around all these young, smart people and driven people that he talked about at Stanford. But he could have maybe just said, you know, maybe I could have done a little better with my marriage and the way I carried myself.
Well, or maybe he could have said, I should have never lost to Wai Yang in that PGA championship. Who knows with Tiger? You brought up a great point, and you've covered him for years. We have covered him, and it's just amazing. You never know what you're getting from Tiger when you're listening to him speak, whether he's playing us, whether he's, you know, I don't know. You know, there's so many wonderful things. We just owe a ton of gratitude to anybody that's in the golf business, certainly for the excitement and just excellence that he provided. But as you well said, Jay, you just never know with Tiger what's really going on.
No, there's no question about that. And that's why we want to see him return and show us that he can play this game again. Whether he wins four more majors or whether he wins another major, it's good for the game. It moves the bar. It gets people that may not be that involved in the game paying attention to the game, and that's what we need. And that's why I say, I wonder what Tiger Woods can do the next 20 to 30 years to help grow this game. Or will he try and help grow this game?
The Grow Room is proud to be entertaining the active men and women in the military, both at home and around the world, as part of the Armed Forces Radio Network. You're listening to The Grow Room. We're heard on TuneIn Radio, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and TalkSport 2, part of the world's largest sports radio station. You can also follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf and on Facebook at The Grow Room Golf Show. Well, the rumor mill, is it buzzing? Is Rory really switching to a TaylorMade M2 driver? We'll find out what Jay Randolph thinks about that when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room.
The Grill Room is thrilled to support the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and all superintendents doing great work for the game we all love. In fact, we call them the unsung heroes in golf. Here's what two-time major winner Jordan Spieth has to say.
If you love golf like I do, you'll thank your golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Hi, I'm Ernie Els. Autism is not game over, it is game on. Get educated and learn the facts. Please learn the early warning signs on our website, elsforautism.com, and talk to your doctor about an autism screening if you have any concerns.
Golfin, the innovative award-winning clubs of choice for parents eager to see their kids fall in love with golf. In fact, let's let Callum McPherson, founder and managing director of Golfin, explain how Golfin GFK clubs take the young golfer from beginner to winner.
So our clubs, our golf clubs, are designed and manufactured, as you know, Bob, to make the game easier for kids so that we build confidence and they have fun from the very, very beginning. So we then kind of thought, well, what else can we do to enhance the enjoyment factor and the fun factor for the kids? And we kind of thought, well, what about golf balls? So what we've developed is easy-to-hit golf balls. So we've got a 60mm golf ball. Basically, it's about twice the size of a normal golf ball. Other sports like soccer and rugby, the balls are scaled to the age of the kids. So we're just applying common sense to make it easier for the kids to hit the ball, and these things just pop right up in the air. They're light, they're safe, and they're easy to hit.
Visit golfin.com, that's golphin.com, to find out more and how to order your kids the gift of golf right now.
Welcome back to the Grill Room.
Time for a show. Time for a show.
It is the first shot of every round, the only shot it's not on the ground. It will be the longest shot if you do it right. Get into the ball, it will sail out of sight.
Hey, you're listening to The Grill Room. I'm Bob Bupker. I'm alongside Jay Randolph Jr., and we certainly appreciate you coming aboard. Well, as we went to break, we talked about that rumor mill buzzing, Jay. Will Rory McIlroy really switch to a Taylor M2 driver? Reports I got that he was carrying his golf ball over 330 yards off the face of that driver. Why not make a switch?
Absolutely. I think we're getting to a point, Bob. You know, we talked about it last week with American Brands and Titleist and their stock situation, the fact that Nike is now no longer a player in the equipment side of the game. I think we're getting to a point where, you know, there's so much product out there that it's almost becoming a situation where I don't know that if a guy plays a driver, it has as much of an impact as it once did. So I think you're going to see manufacturers and agreements with these players where they're going to be able to put the best clubs in their bag, no matter what their affiliation is, because when you can carry a ball 330 yards, I don't care what it says on top of it, you're going to put that in play.
And one thing, I think manufacturers lost their way a little bit, and I never was completely comfortable with it, Jay, and that is when, you know, they'd come out with the latest greatest, and then 3 months later, they'd come out with the latest greatest, and you know, there were too many players that you know, just had to have that extra 5 yards or perceived 5 yards and spending money that they didn't have to spend. And the overall effect, it hurt people playing the game.
There's no question about it. I think you look at some of the guys that may have made equipment changes because of money, because of guaranteed money. And let's be honest, with the type of money they're playing for now out there, you know, it's hard for a manufacturer to come up with enough money to have a guy say, oh, okay, I'll play every club in my bag, maybe except my putter and my wedges, your brand. I just think, and your point exactly, with every 6 months, the new secret coming out, I think golfers, that the buying public has become a little bit, it has a little disdain towards these manufacturers because How can 6 months, you know, you say we've got the driver that's going to be right for you, and 6 months later they say, uh-oh, we found a new driver that's right for you.
Good point. Well said. And, you know, the only secret to good golf, And that is practice. It's not the equipment. It is practice. Well, another hot topic that's been bantered about, and we'll talk about it right now, the PGA Tour. Are they poaching in the European Tour territory? They announced they're going to hold a PGA Tour event in 2017 in South Korea. Your thoughts on that, Jay?
Well, I think it's a good move for the Tour. You wonder how they will get in terms of, you know, like more Far East tournaments. They go to Puerto Rico and Mexico. I think they've got to be careful. We've seen the success that the LPGA has had worldwide and especially in Asia. But the PGA Tour can't lose the fact that their bread and butter is here in the United States. They've got to be careful with how many international events they add to their PGA Tour schedule.
I think, you know, we're going to have a definitive start and finish. I'm fully aware of the job of the PGA Tour to create playing opportunities for members of their tour. But, you know, right now we don't have a start. We don't have a finish. I loved it when it kind of finished up in early fall, and then we had to wait till January 1st, the Maui, the Tournament of Champions. I thought that was always a nice transition from 1 year to another. Maybe we'll come back to that. All right, some other tournament news. The Deutsche Bank Championship Championship is being renamed the Dell Technologies Championship. It's going to be on Labor Day weekend, and I wanted to find out if they're going to still finish on Monday. And yes, they seem to like that over Labor Day weekend. Are you a fan of that, Jay, or you don't like it?
No, I do like it. I think because it is a day off for everybody virtually in the United States, it gives them kind of that Monday to have the spotlight going on. I guess you've got the U.S. Open tennis tournament going on, but I've always enjoyed it. Always throws me for a loop when on Thursday when I go look at PGAtour.com for a leaderboard, and there's no leaderboard, there's just tee times because it starts on a Friday. But I do like it. For a long time, the LPGA Tour played in Springfield, Ohio at the Rail Classic over Labor Day, and they finished on a Monday and seemed to have success with it. So I like it. It's interesting that a longtime sponsor in Deutsche Bank is saying so long.
Just the sign of the times. Luckily, Dell stepping up to the plate, and you know they stepped up to the plate also in the match play, and that's going to have a new name now. That's going to become the Dell Technologies Match Play. I guess it's all about branding. It gets so confusing out there that it's hard to stay up with. Not hard to stay up with our guest host, Jay Randolph Jr. in the Grill Room. By the way, you can tweet Jay at STL Golf Geek or the Grill Room at TGR Golf. Well, 2016 has not been a stellar year for Lydia Ko. She's not the number one player in the world right now. Trails area Chichagonagon. I can't say that name. Can you? It sounds like I'm in Vegas instead of you being in Vegas. But anyway, people know who we're talking about. She's Lydia Ko, 13 points behind, but got rid of her longtime caddy. I hate that. You know, it's so easy to blame the caddy rather than, you know, the player. It's never the player's fault. You know that, Jay.
That's exactly right. Player never makes a mistake. But when they talk amongst themselves, you know, the old thing comes up. If the guy's not making any money or he's not playing well, they play better is what they say. But it seems like with the caddies, you get a job on a bag and you're just waiting to get fired from that bag. We'll see how Lydia does. She's, a little bit of a leveling off maybe in her game, but she clearly is one of the best players in the world, and they're coming from the Far East, as you know. It's tough for the American golf fan, I think, at times on the LPGA side, but it's great for the brand worldwide to have these young girls keep coming and coming, and there's more on the way.
And just keep one fact in mind, Lydia Ko, 18 years old, she's had 7 caddies. All right, Michelle Weeb making a little bit of a resurgence, and we had an opportunity back in May, Jay Bird. I had a chance to ask David Ledbetter, who's her teacher, about Michelle's future. Here's what he told me.
Well, we know what talent she's had, and sometimes you can be cursed with talent. That's the truth. And she's only 26. I mean, which by today's standards is actually old. I mean, I think you're on the senior tour when you're 26 on the ladies' tour now. When you think of the average winner this year, I think has been about the age of 20. But I still have high hopes, Michelle. I still think that. I mean, look, she might not fulfil everybody's. Predictions of that she was going to just sweep everything. I don't think that'll happen, but I do think she's still got some great golf left in her, and if she can keep getting on and stop tinkering with the golf swing and just stay injury free, maybe we'll see the best of Michelle in the next few years.
Don't forget, won a U.S. Open. I mean, you can never take that away from her. I mean, you have to be pretty talented, Mr. Randolph, in order to win a U.S. Open. She did that down at Pinehurst.
Well, and as you heard David Ledbetter say, 26. I mean, the reason it seems like she might be older is because we've been watching her since she's 14 and 15 years old, and she came along with such high praise and promise of trying to play the men's tour. I remember being with you in Hawaii when she played in the Hawaiian Open. So some people, Larry Nelson didn't really start his career until he was 26 years of age. But as Ledbetter said, when you think about it, the average age of the winner on the LPGA Tour is about 21 years of age. And back in the days of, Big Mama and Nancy Lopez and Patty Sheehan and on and on and on, Pat Bradley, I mean, gals didn't come out until they finished college and they were 22, and it took them a year or two to get their, their legs under them and feel comfortable out there. That's no longer the case. I mean, that's staggering when you think about the average age of the winners on the LPGA Tour is right about 21 years of age.
Well, I'll tell you what's staggering. When David Ledbetter refers to 26 being old, I almost went down for the count myself. Good golly, 26 and old. Oh, David.
Yeah, I'm there with you, Bob.
All right, buddy. How about Golfsmith? They were bought by Dick's Sporting Goods. Cheap auction, $70 million. There were 109 Golfsmith stores. Now there's only going to be 30. But about 500 employees are going to keep their jobs. They had a great idea. I thought they were the first to hire actual PGA qualified teaching professionals to work with their customers. So we'll see where the future of Golfsmith goes now that they're under the umbrella of Dick's Sporting Goods. We can only wish them the very best of luck.
Little consolidation, probably a good thing. Unfortunate for those that may not be able to stay within the company. But as you said, that's the way. That's where we are today, and that's why I keep. I think a lot of places like at Normandy, Bob, we don't necessarily bring in clubs. If somebody wants a club, I'll order it for them. But at this juncture, with the way things are, unless you're a country club and you've got a membership that's going to be active in purchasing through your pro shop, it's a tough business with all the stuff on the internet, eBay. There's been too much of it. There's too many places to get a deal on something are saturated, and then the prices go down, and then revenues go down. And, it's been a slippery slope, and hopefully this might level things off a little bit. Maybe a little less saturation in the marketplace be good for the industry.
Well, I think you got a good game plan in effect there at Normandy. And how about this? It's already time for the first WGC event of the new season, and I haven't had a turkey leg yet. Golly, times have really changed.
Well, and that's what you were saying earlier. We both kind of like the way you had the bookends with the Tournament of Champions to kick things off in Hawaii, and then the finish with the FedEx Cup and the Tour Championship, if you will. It is hard to believe we've already got two tournaments under our belt, and now we've got a World Golf Championship event. I think it's tough sometimes for the fans if you don't pay attention like you and I do, or even if you do pay attention like you and I do, sometimes you're not sure what's going on, especially in this kind of start to 2017 that starts in 2016 with some events not in the United States.
Yeah, it's pretty convoluted at best, and it just really it screws you up when you go look at your golf calendar. I must say,
yes.
Pretty good field here, though, Jay, the Masters winner, and Danny Willett, U.S. Open champion, Dustin Johnson, Henrik, the Open champion, and the PGA champion, Jimmy Walker. So they got all four major winners. You got to tip your hat to them for that. The only one, Jason Day, still out with that back injury, and I'm a little concerned, Jay, and we haven't discussed this off the air, but I'll bring it up anyway. You know, seems to a lot of injuries coming the direction of Jason Day of late, and certainly has proven to be an extremely rich talent out there, but an awful nice guy also. I'm worried that maybe this back thing is going to really prove to be his Waterloo.
Well, and I'd heard that he won't play in any of the big three Australian tournaments that are coming up in the next 6 weeks. Now, that may change, but I think he's kind of really looking at next year and looking at the – I think he's pointing towards the Masters, and I hope he is because, you know, at his age, still a young player to have back problems. You know, that's the one thing that can jump up and grab a golfer at any time, as we've seen with Mr. Woods. And I hope, well, you know, Jason's getting the best advice, but he's also a competitor. And he's had a lot of different things the last couple of years that he's been affected by. And now the back is at play. So hopefully for Jason Day, because as you said, there is not a nicer, well-balanced guy, grounded, man of faith, had a lot of learning experiences growing up by losing parents, and he's a grand gentleman, so hopefully he'll be fine.
And there's one nice guy that's playing in this event that I would, you know, be thrilled if I could walk up and say, hey, Jay, come over here. I want you to meet a friend of mine, and that is Andrew Johnston, better known probably to you as Beef. And I'm going to let you in on a little inside stuff. We had the opportunity when we were covering the Open Championship to become friends with somebody that went to school with Beef. His mom works in the cafeteria, the dining area of the school. But here's the real topper, Jay. She's a vegetarian, and he's known out on tour as Beef, and a nicer guy you're not going to meet. And boy, apparently he's got some talent. I mean, he won the Spanish Open at Valderrama. That's not an easy thing, but I think he's good for the game of golf. Have you had an opportunity to see him at all?
I have not. I had a friend. I got a friend, Matt Cochran, who's working for PGAtour.com, who got to chronicle him on the last couple of web.com events, and people were just going nuts, and people were dressing up like him. And he's one of those guys that it seems like people can relate to because of his look and his build, and he seems like he enjoys it too, Bob. He plays it up, and you know, he got a sponsor right off the bat in terms of the meets, and he looks like he's going to be a really good part of the game. And you know, that's good to see because it's a guy from Europe that people can relate to here in the United States. And he seems like he's loving every minute of what he's doing.
And the evaluation I love to use in evaluating a player is how he is received by his fellow players. And
yep,
there's not one player on that European tour that doesn't speak highly of Andrew Johnston, as we said. The Beef, we'll see what he does this year. All right, one other big story that I really think is worth mentioning. William McGuirk, you know, as far as this tournament this week, he's eligible to play in that WGC event. But, you know, he didn't want to play there. He wanted to play in the Sanderson's Farms Championship held in Mississippi. They gave him a chance. Sanderson's Farms is opening up a processing plant in McGuirk's hometown in North Carolina. He wasn't allowed to play, but he got permission to play in the Pro-Am, which he is doing this week. And boy, that just shows you what a good guy McGuirk is. Won Jack's tournament last year, and I know Jack Nicklaus was thrilled having somebody of the caliber, not necessarily player, of the caliber of person that William McGuirk is.
Yeah, Dirk McGuirk is a guy that has proven himself now as a player, but that's a big move, like you said, to pass up the big money, and the guaranteed money that's over there at the WGC, and support a sponsor of the tour, a sponsor that gave him an opportunity. I love seeing that when guys don't forget, Bob, where they came from and how they got there, the people that got them there. That's a strong move on his part, because it'd been real easy just to take a flight, show up, get the big money, and just go out and shoot four rounds. Good for Dirk McGuirk.
And we want to give a shout-out before we shut it down, Jay, to Ian Poulter, coming off major medical. A lot of people see the flash and dash of Ian Poulter, but he does so much for charity that is absolutely incredible. Wants no publicity for it, but Ian Poulter, a good, good guy out there. We hope that he'll be back healthy and competing. He's certainly good for the game, and he has me jealous every time I see one of his outfits. They don't make it in my size, so I don't get too jealous. But
he's an interesting guy, and he's a fierce competitor, and he's good for the game, and hope he'll be fine, like you said, because he really is a guy that loves to get out there and compete and bring some fire to the table. I like that.
Well, Jay, time goes by fast when you're talking golf with you, Jay. Very knowledgeable, very enjoyable. Certainly hope the listeners are enjoying it half as much as I am. We got to let you get back to Vegas. The Vegas gods will be calling me up saying, you're keeping Jay Randolph away from the tables. Get out of here. All right, that's it for this week. You've been listening to The Grill Room, heard on TuneIn, the Armed Forces Radio Network, and TalkSport 2. Let me give a big shout out to our partners, the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America, the Golfin, the innovative clubs for all ages, inspiring golf's next generation. Beginners to winners, that's their goal. So for Janice Self, the one and only Jay Randolph Jr., myself, Bob Bubka, thank you for being part of our Grill Room team. Please, you can follow us on Twitter at TGR Golf. Like us on Facebook at The Grill Room Golf Show.